Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up Podcast. We're here today, as we are every week, to talk all about Season 9 of 90 Day Fiancé OG. It's been a lot of fun this season, a lot of nonsense, a lot of ridiculousness. So we're going to hop aboard the Hot Mess Express once again to dissect everything that happened in Episode 8. I am, of course, the host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, Pizan Vakili, ready to talk about it all again. And this week, I've got a very special guest with me. She is, of course, one half of the Mess Magnets. She has done a lot more appearances on a lot of podcasts and always has time when we want to talk about mess. So I'm going to give the floor over to the one and only Sasha Joseph here with me today. Sasha, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm so good. I can't believe I'm finally back on the 90-day train. Because, listen, I've been watching, obviously, but I was like, when am I going to come back on? Because I'm ready to drag these people. And it's been too long. So it's a wild episode, I feel like. And I'm ready. I'm ready to get in this.
Yeah, we had you scheduled earlier in the season. But unfortunately, that didn't work out.
Yes, my bad.
No problem. We will always have time for Sumit's number one fan here on this podcast.
We all decided you were Sumit yesterday. So I guess that's me being your number one fan. I love it.
I'm sorry to say you decided, and I'm not forgiving you yet.
Everyone, go check out the roast yesterday, please.
Yeah, I'm coming off of a 24-hour stream that I did yesterday, still recovering. But we will always have time for 90 Day Fiancé nonsense here. So let's kick it off here and start talking about a couple who we have seen a little bit from, not a lot, but I feel like this episode, it kind of moved in a direction, maybe not a great one. But it's Emily and Kobe. So Emily and Kobe, we arrive at the 75-day mark. So he's only been there 15 days, 2 weeks, and he cannot work yet. So the plan is they're going to show him around the farm and he's going to start working there and helping out. And he's volunteered to do so. He wants to show that he can do stuff. So they are taking him to the horse shed. Is that the word?
Yeah.
Okay, they're taking him to the horse shed so he can help with the horses. And Sasha, how did you feel watching this scene play out?
So wasn't this exactly like Miss Barbara? Because I'm over here like, oh, is this back at, where's the hot tub at? You know, what's going on? Because what the hell? Like, first of all, you know what? I'm going to put it out of the way. These people cannot work. Does everyone know that? Like, when you're here for 90 days before you get your green card or your work permit, like, you are dependent on your spouse. And these people are treating him like they were trying to do Julia in, what was it?
Brandon and Julia.
Yeah, Brandon and Julia. But was that just 90 Day Fiancé also? I can't remember.
I believe that was the last season of 90 Day Proper.
Yeah. Now I'm like, what is it? But yeah, to me, I'm like, they did that to her. It's the same thing where the partner is just an idiot. Like, I'm so over Emily. She's horrible. And they're making this poor guy like shovel shit. Like, that's truly horrible.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that by the sounds of it, he volunteered to help around the house and like do something because he feels unproductive. He feels like he's not giving. And it's a very tough spot to be in when you're a spouse of someone who you just moved here for. Because aside from the 90-day period that you have time to get married for, when you apply for change of status, that's when you apply for the work permit. You will not hear anything for up to 6-7 months before you can get work clearance. So he is pretty much bound. So when I moved here, I finally got mine in like November, like mid-November. Yeah. And I got here start of April or end of March, rather. So it takes some time. So they give him the task of, hey, so we would like for you to help here. They take him to the horse shed and they've got this manure they need to have shoveled into this bucket and then the bucket dumped. I did see a Reddit post where this person was like, listen, I work with horses and you got to like take care of their shed every day. You have to clear it out. You have to keep it clean. Based on the pile that was there, that was not done for a couple of days. And that is not healthy for the horses. And I did feel that, but I was like, this is a lot of crap. Like, this is a lot. I'm no expert. I don't really hang around horses ever. So I've never really seen, but even I thought that seems like a lot that's there.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly it where Emily's mom says that, right? She's like, I physically cannot do this anymore. So why aren't your kids helping out? And maybe Emily's sister has a job, like, I don't know. But Emily don't got a job. Like, you know, it's like breastfeeding is a job and being a mom is a job. I want to be clear. But when it comes to Emily herself, she's not doing anything. All she's doing is like being a manager, but you have no workers. You're just managing your family and you're doing a bad job at it.
Well, yeah. So that's going to become the big part of their story for this episode is that while Kobe takes to the shoveling, he's trying to get it going. He's doing his own method. He's like not doing a full scoop. He's doing like a, maybe like a 3/4 scoop to then lift to put in this bucket. I imagine it's heavy, right? So like if he's scooping very, cause like, I've shoveled snow and sometimes if it's too much snow, it's gonna, I can't, my back, my hands will not. I got to go a little softer. So he's doing all this and she is doing what you just described, playing the role of like the supervisor in that she's standing over top of him and yelling out, why aren't you doing, you know, why aren't you taking a full shovel? Why aren't you not doing that? Why are you, can you do it faster? Can you do it this way? And he's feeling pestered, clearly. He tells us in confessional that he feels like she wants him to be controlled and she wants her family to see that he's being controlled and he's losing patience for that. So inevitably, he gets to the end of his patience and turns around to her and says, can you just shut the F up? And this gets turned into a frenzy because Emily's face is in shock. She's like, I can't believe you just said that to me. And she got very mad, very incredulous, and walked away saying that he can't be rude to me like that. That's messed up. That's not okay. And part of me kind of felt, and Sasha, I know you're going to, you can check me if I'm wrong, but I felt like the way she was talking to him was very rude. When she was like, I'm trying to help you out. And he just let me do it. She's like, okay, just stop talking and do it then. So I felt like she was already rude to him. And is it just the use of the F word here that she didn't care for?
No, I think it's a control thing, right? So like basically she wants a yes man, or I don't know if she actually wants one, but you know, in this moment, it seems like she wants a yes man and that's not who he is. And she literally was like, this is what got me, right? Because they're in the barn. He's the only one kind of doing work. Maybe Emily's mom obviously is because that's her job and it's her like farm thing. I don't know. But anyway, then Emily says, I have to show you how it's done. Or should I have to show you how it's done? But I haven't done it in years. So let's break this down, right? Miss Thing hasn't done it in years, maybe because she, you know, had a baby. That's real. And there's a lot of stuff that happens, you know, when you give birth. So I understand. But then you were admitting that this man has never done this before. And instead of being like, you're doing so well, or just like getting out of his way, you're just like berating him for not doing it the way you would have done it. Because to me, it's like shoveling poop. I don't think there's a wrong way to do it as long as you're getting it in said bucket.
Listen, I believe there was a Kanye song where he says scoopity poop, poopty scoop, scoopty poop. And that's really what it is. You just got to scoop it, put it away, come back. And it can either take a little longer or a little less based on how often you're scooping. Like there's really nothing else to do beyond that.
And then she says, no, I'm telling you, you need to finish faster so we can hang out. Don't you want to hang out? What in the gaslighting mess is this?
See, if you do your job faster, then you're free to hang out with me. And if you don't want to hang out with me, that's also pretty rude that you should not want to do that. And to me, all I can see is This is a man who wants to help out your family, and he's trying his best. But with you standing over top of him, micromanaging him, and implying, I think that's the biggest thing, is the implication. Because when someone's standing over top of you and telling you how to do a thing a certain way, that never translates to, you're doing a good job, but let me give you some pointers. Unless you actively say that, it just comes off as, yeah, you're not doing a good job. So just do the way I tell you to do it. Otherwise, you're doing it bad. And he's trying to maintain an image of, like, you know, goodwill with the family of, like, I'm trying, I'm doing, I can provide, I can help around. And this isn't helping that. And it's very difficult. Again, he tells us that in confessional that, you know, back in Cameroon, he has a handball team. They would go for beers. He could hang out. The beer tastes different to him here. It's very cold here. And he's clearly homesick as well. He's out on his own. And he's a father for the first time. He's got a lot to learn there for sure. He's got a lot to learn to adapt to here. He can only lean on one person. That person's you. But if you are actively pushing him as well, then he's got no one to lean on. And he's going to feel backed into a corner. And of course, he's going to feel frustrated because you are supposed to be on my team. Why are you making me look a fool?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's exactly it. And also bump all of that, because, like, why shouldn't he just be spending time with his child? That's another thing I don't understand. It's like she is just constantly getting it at him. It's not just her, it's all of them. And they're, like, constantly telling him to do this, do that. But, like, why can't he just bond with his child?
That would be not. We didn't see Coben at all this episode at all. So no mention of Coben. And honestly, to me, I feel like there was a moment on the show, because, like, obviously, when it comes to even Muhammad, it's very clear that Muhammad believes I'm the man of the household. So there's, like, manly duties and, like, gender roles. Like, there are specific things that I think Muhammad might be looking at. Whereas with Kobe, I don't think he thinks, like, I'm the man, so I should be treated as such. I think he wants it to be equal, and I think he just doesn't want to be bossed around. And I feel like Emily is 100% a controlling person. We know this much because her family told him and us that she's a controlling person. So he's struggling with that because he tells us that this is not how we were when we met in China. This is not who I knew there. And she also says that he was not like this in China either. But I think that's just the biggest proof of, when you do end up moving in with someone, if you've not been around them long enough, or if you've not lived with them long enough, there, it's not going to be the exact same experience. There's a lot of learning curve to go with cohabitating.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, and this was last episode too, right? With the car, where it's just like he is trying to, like, have some space and, you know, be himself. And I'm not saying he's necessarily 100% right either, because you were talking about cohabitating, and it reminded me, right, when they were the whole breastfeeding conversation, right? Like, I'm not 100% necessarily on Kobe's side, but I just feel like, how is no one seeing this? You know, seeing this mess and, like, calling her out instead of it, because her mom said, right, like, when he said, shut the F up to her, her mom says, you know, I just know that my husband wouldn't do that. And it's like, yeah, but you're out here working and you have a different dynamic.
Yeah, it's just to me, I just feel like, because then he brings it up to her mom after he finishes the scooping. And he says, you know, I feel like the whole, like, mom, it's like a situation where, like, the woman is talking to a man as an inferior, and I don't like that. And the mom says, I wouldn't look at it that way. I think it's person to person. I can tell you, my husband would never say that to me, like what you said to her, implying, like, the F word thing. And that causes him to go to apologize. But even the apology scene, Sasha, I felt like, you are being rude to him as well, still.
Yes, because he even said, right, like, hey, I apologize. And she was like, apologize for what? And I'll tell you, I do that to my husband sometimes, but that's when I'm still angry and I'm not ready to, like, you know, make nice. So I can own that. But instead, she's like, apologize for what? You need to say it. Like, what kind of sadistic shit is this? Like, horrible.
Yeah, it's and like you said, I'm not necessarily team Kobe because I know he's some of his behavior when it came to his whole stance when it came to the breastfeeding, I was fully against. But the biggest storyline with them has been that she is very controlling towards every aspect and he is expected to just follow through. Otherwise, it's not cool. But when it came to all this, so he finally does apologize. He's like, yeah, okay, I'm going to say I'm sorry for saying that. And she's like, what? Are you sorry for saying what? He's like, I'm sorry for saying that shut the F up. And then she's like, well, I'm sorry for being talkative to you while you're working. Oh. She doesn't recognize at all what she did was wrong, which is ironic because she thinks that he doesn't know what he said was wrong. But he apologized for it.
Oh, don't even get me started. I literally was like, she just says, sorry for being talkative while you work. Ma'am, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Because all you're doing is dragging him when he's trying. Like again, think about Julia, right? Like, Julia was so against it and wasn't really, like, trying to be on the farm like that. Versus him, he's like, this is, what I want to do because I need to help and I need to feel like I'm contributing. And then this is how you treat him? Like, what is the reason? What is the reason? The math is not math. And, is there some unseen footage that we're missing of them two? Because horrible, just a horrible mess.
Yeah, it's so difficult to talk about because it makes me uncomfortable when it comes to 90 Day, yes, I'm here. Yes, I want to talk about the mess. But then also sometimes it gets real and I hate that it's televised. I hate that I have to watch people go through their real life problems in front of me for the sake of and for me, it's like entertainment, but it's not. So ultimately, when he ends the conversation, he essentially says, please don't repeat that again. Essentially meaning like, please don't micromanage me. Please don't talk down to me. And she just laughs it off and says, okay, and walks away very sarcastically. So yeah, I am not loving it. Not loving it with them. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. And again, like, I don't actually want to like necessarily say this, but I feel like I have to. Like, it feels icky watching a black man, right? Like, in this like small town. And listen, like, I'm from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Like, I get it. And she's in Salinas, Kansas. But it's like, it's so awkward from jump, right? When he was like, I'm not used to being in this place. Because he's from Cameroon. People look like him. So I think that's an added layer that they just will not get, Emily and her family. I mean, of him just like, not only are you alone, but you literally have no one that like maybe you can confide to or like, be with it. Mm-hmm. Just, I feel like that's double alone. And I'm sure you feel like we understand as like people of color how this, how sometimes like you feel so alone. And then on top of that, you're like, and I'm the only one. So it makes me feel even worse. So it's just, I also just wanted to name that because it's giving Get Out vibes.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that when you feel like when you move, it's very easy to feel isolated, not just because you're in a new environment, not just because maybe you're out of where your community would be completely, like you can be completely separated. Again, not to go to even Muhammad once again, but Muhammad being taken to the mosque and like getting to connect with the Muslim community, like clearly really like he felt at home. And just the combination of not having that, but then also not having any other of the smaller things like friends and family, acquaintances, coworkers that you have around you as you, assimilate in a society. So like when I moved, I used to work 5 days a week. I used to work and made a lot of friends at work. I used to have a roommate. All of this is gone and I'm in a brand new place where I don't have any of that. The only person I have is my partner. And it's not, you don't necessarily like you can't lean on your partner 1,000,000,000% because they have a lot of their own stuff going on too. But that's all you have. And it's so important to work on everything together and lift each other up. And right now I feel like neither of them have realized that, yeah, we need to come together and we need to put work in on this as a unit, because I think in Emily's mind, she knows what's best for them and he should just let her direct it. But then you're not living your life. You're not living as a couple. You are living someone else's life who's telling you what's better. And that's simply not going to work out for them. So we'll see where they're going to go with this next. Let me just check and see if they have a next time on. They do. Yeah. And it is Kobe is sitting for a one-on-one with Emily's dad, who he says intimidates him. And like he feels very like nervous. And the dad is like essentially peppering him with questions of like, well, what's your plan? What do you have going on? And then he tells us in confessional that, yeah, there's a lot of mouths to feed. And I will not be paying for it. I'll tell you that. So dad has no intention of them staying here, clearly. But what are they going to do? We'll find out.
But
okay.
He can't work. He literally can't work.
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing with 90 Day, where like we know this information very well. But then when it comes to the family members, it seems like they did not get a briefing package of like, hey, so I'm bringing a partner in from a foreign country on the K-1 visa. We can't work. He can't work for the 90 days and plus. So the financial burden is on me. And if I'm leaning on you, it's on you as well. So do you know this? Is this cool? They don't seem to get that memo because they're always like, yeah, what's your plan? It's like, I don't know. I'll apply for the work permit. And then when I get it, hopefully find a job. Like, what else do you want to hear from me? I think a lot of them expect more of a career plan. And really, if we browse the family, the couples that are on this season, the two people that have kind of had this conversation and have made it clear what they want to do, mm-hmm. one of them is Miona, who said, I would like to get involved in working with makeup and ending up in a position where I have my own makeup line, which is like, again, very broad, very like nice idea, but like, you know, there's nothing you can do until you get the work permit and maybe find out how to get involved. Mm-hmm. And then you have Binium, who wants to be an MMA fighter. So, and he has experience going into it, but with everyone else, it's like, yeah, I really don't know what the job market's like. I really don't know what I can do. We need money out the gate. So whatever happens, happens. I just need the work permit. So.
Ugh, it's unfortunate. And that's why, to me, it's like, is this fake or not? Or is this, are these people just dumb that they can't figure out that this lady is lit? Like, this man cannot work. So it doesn't matter, like, what the plan is. But maybe that's just me.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where this goes. Only next week we'll be able to tell us. So let's take a quick break. When we get back, we will dive in and talk about Patrick and Thais and John, because that's how Patrick would like to have it. We'll be right back. All right. So we are back. Let's talk about this couple. So Patrick and Thais, last time we saw them was on the mini golf course where Patrick was attempting to keep the peace between Thais and John. Things seem to be okay or getting better, but we learned this week that that's probably still going to be a big, big problem in the relationship. So what we basically, the big information we got from Patrick and Thais this episode, Sasha, was that he is opening, I guess, a new brand or a new operation in Dallas, and he is going to move them from Austin to Dallas. And Thais initially sounds like, you know, she's happy about this new life, new beginning. This is great. Without John. And Patrick says, no, John will be there with us. He'll be living with us. And that doesn't seem to be changing at all, Sasha.
Again, I'm confusion because I feel bad for Thais because I'm like, girl, wake up. Like, this is your life now. He's not moving. And I don't understand why. No one is being honest. And later in the episode, I feel like Patrick's true colors came out a little. Because at first I was like, oh, he's just trying to keep the peace, you know. And I feel like maybe in our cultures, right, like we're used to kind of staying with family. Maybe that's not necessarily so abnormal.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is that obviously, like, I have a lot of friends and family members back in the Middle East still. And a lot of them just stayed with their family. If they didn't move abroad for university or anything, they lived with family while going to university. They pretty much lived with family until they would be in a position where they got married and like moved out. With them though, with Patrick and John, it's very clear that their upbringing was troubling. They had a lot of struggle there. And then later in life, Patrick goes through the entire, you know, losing the career he was in with the weightlifting and everything. And I think he was in a bad place when he got his divorce and John was there for him. And I think he's at a position now where he wants to keep John in his life. And I think it's also for John's betterment that he wants John to be with him because, you know, they can take care of each other. But I don't think Thais necessarily sees that as a helpful situation because in Thais's mind, I abandoned my family to come live with you. You should also, so it should be just the two of us, not with your family. That's not what I signed up for.
Mm-hmm. This goes to our question since the beginning of time, since you've launched this podcast, but do they not talk beforehand?
Sasha, it's when they sign up for 90 days, the things we have to check at the door is any sign of logic, communication, and empathy, because it feels like no one has empathy for each other. No one has logic and no one talks about anything. Because you'd think so. But remember, this is also the same couple where Thais has not told Patrick that, hey, my dad doesn't know we're getting married, A, and B, my dad thinks I'm visiting, and C, my dad doesn't even like you.
Yeah, that part, like, it's another, like, moment where, and I think I want to talk about this with Bilal more, but, like, it's these, like, partners that live in America, and actually John says this too, so I can say it here, where they just, like, assume that just because you come from another country and, you know, maybe a developing country, that you should just, like, be okay with, like, whatever, because, like, you know, you're so grateful to be in the land of opportunity, and don't you feel grateful that you don't have to, you know, like, go to the bathroom in a hole outside. Like, that's how they think. And that's what pisses me off. Because John actually says that later with the house issue. So I just don't understand why no one has asked her even once. What would she like?
Well, it's fascinating to me because, so let's fast forward to the end of this segment with them where they go to the house in Dallas and it's not a smaller house. I guess it's two stories, but the second floor is entirely John's by the sounds of it. And the living room is smaller in here, but Patrick and Thais are going to be living like in the main floor. And Thais kind of, you know, brings up, yeah, well, I don't know. The closet space is kind of smaller here. The living room's a little bit more cramped. I like the last place we were in more, which is a very fair thing to have an opinion on when you didn't get to choose any of this because he made the entire decision of the house himself. He sold the other place himself. So she had no say. And he's like, you should be grateful. Essentially for him, he was mad because he's like, I grew up in like a trailer park situation with like, we all shared bedrooms. We're like six of us. So I don't like that she is being ungrateful. This is a huge red flag for me. This is almost $1 million house. And I'm like, listen, that's all good. No one is saying that the house is bad. She is just voicing her opinion that it's not as good as the last place, which is fair. You showed her a house that she ended up really liking, and then you took it away and gave her this house, but she never got to tell you she didn't like it because you did it all yourself. So why do you think that she doesn't have the right to an opinion? And also the whole, like, someone being ungrateful for the living situation they're in, people are allowed to have opinions regardless of where they grow up or what living situation they are in. And it is, you know, it is very uncouth to be in a position like what John was doing to essentially assume, oh, you are coming in from another country. You like it here. This is a better living situation. That isn't necessarily always the case. And also, John, have you met yourself? You're a pretty unsavory person to want to hang out with. Like, I wouldn't want to live with you. You don't seem fun.
Like, John, I think you are on, like, lots of substances. And, like, I would be afraid because I'm like, what is this man going to, like, do to me? You know, like, in my sleep, like, I'm afraid. It's like, John, the vibe is off. Like, he's having beer in the morning. Like, what are you doing? And one other thing, I would say if I were to pick where I want to live, I'd rather live in the upstairs, because guess what? I get all the upstairs to myself, plus the living room, and definitely I get the kitchen. So like, don't
get more, doesn't John get
more square footage?
Well, that's the thing, right? Because like, a lot of the stuff that's
ridiculous.
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff that's shared living space, like a kitchen, a living room, like you mentioned, they are shared. So even if the main floor is us, no, the main floor is mostly everyone else. And also, given the next time on where John is about to throw a freaking housewarming party, where do you think they're going to hang out? In the living room. So yeah, give me the privacy of the second floor every time. When I lived in a three-floor house in my third and fourth year of university, and mm-hmm. I took the room that was, the third floor was just like an, not an attic, but the third floor was just the bedroom. And I took that floor. It was so nice to have one floor buffer between the living room and the kitchen, because the boys would hang out there all the time. And it was perfect, because I got to do me. I got to do my own thing. I got to hang out when I needed to, and I had my privacy. And I feel like you're giving that to John, but not to Thais, which I think is a mistake.
Yes, that's exactly it. And I just don't understand how they bought a house without talking to her. Because it seems like John knew of the house, right? Because he had keys to the house. So, and he like moved in, he knew where his stuff would be. So it's either that they're not exactly telling us the timeline, right? Like maybe they bought the house beforehand. And Dallas is pretty expensive. Like, as you know, in my dream, I would want to leave the Bay Area and move to Dallas because I could afford it there. But like, I was just there this weekend and it's become very expensive. So I also understand why the bang for your buck is smaller compared to the Austin house versus Dallas. So that's another, I think, piece of it that maybe like not everyone is getting. But like, man, you drove a Tesla, like get out of here. You can handle, I think, a bigger house, or like at least talk to your partner.
Yeah, like that would be nice. Again, ultimately, when you want her to feel like you're in this together and you are family, one of the most important things is that you, as a collaborative effort, decide on the house, make a living situation for yourself, the furniture. Like, this is all stuff that everyone wants to be involved in. Like, when we were looking to move apartments when I moved here, I wanted to be a part of the decision making just as much as Liana did. And we worked on it together. We looked at places together. I liked places she didn't like. She approved some places that I wasn't really about. And when we found the place we wanted, we both loved it. And we love our place. We love our place. We love everything that it has. The only areas of the house that are kind of like, however I want it done, I will have it done, is my stream room or my own room. And with Liana, it's her office. That's like, we've not really consulted each other on who likes what. We just do our own thing. It's that. Everything else is a shared experience.
Wow, because y'all have a maybe normal relationship versus these two. But, you know, that's a 90-day, like, staple. I get it. But it's wild. And then, like, we didn't even talk about the whole kissing in the Tesla and, like, making out. I was just like,
No. They were not making out. They were not kissing. They parked to do it, Sasha. They parked to full-on do the deed in the parking lot.
Yeah. I mean, listen, when you're driving a Tesla, like, you do have to charge. Like, that's why, I don't know, it's so hard, because you literally have to, like, you can't do a trip like that without charging. So I guess, you know, you do you. I guess you kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, again, I've said this on so many shows I've been on recently. I don't need to know what your sex life is like when you're on this show. And if you talk about it, I'm fine with it. You can talk about all you want. But like, I didn't have to see that. I didn't have to see you park in the car and take like a detour on the way to your home in Dallas at all. But listen, the thing is, Thais doesn't like the house. She loves the Tesla. She's very much happy about this car. Yeah, so ultimately with them, I feel like the whole storyline is John, 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 John. And by the looks of it, next week, like I said, John is going to want to plan a housewarming party. And I know Thais isn't going to be about this. I don't necessarily even think it's because she doesn't like a party or she doesn't like anything like that, I think is 100% to do with the fact that she doesn't feel like she has any control of her life right now, because again, house she didn't pick, living situation she didn't pick, and now party that she wasn't even a part of. So.
And no one sees any issue with it. Like Patrick literally said, live with it. What? Like he literally said, and he was like, I have zero patience, right? Like what you talked about, his upbringing, and that's why he said it. But I can't imagine. And the housewarming party was all girls, like at least what they showed us. So I feel like that's going to be another drama. And I thought John had no friends. That's why he's staying with us.
Well, I think that's the thing, is that there is a lot of situations here where Patrick is just pretty much defeating the point of, well, Thais is not open to like doing stuff. Thais is not open to being an actual active person who will attempt to give John a chance. So she's being hard about it. I don't even think that's the case. I think the case is that you have not listened to what she has to say and you've just discounted it as, nah, you just don't want to play ball.
Yep. And that's what I think, where they're pretty like, no, quote unquote, normal couple, where I feel like, oh, he at least, you know, learned her language and their speak, you know, I give him points for that. But also by the end of this episode, I was like, oh my God, you're trash. Like, no wonder you're single.
Yeah. John's not great.
Yeah. And Patrick too. I mean, like, Sit is just like horrible. They're like, I just don't understand this. Like this, the brothers are so codependent on each other. And it's like, there's a new human around that you need to also nurture that relationship. You know, take some tips from Jabri. And I can't believe I'm saying that.
Imagine. That's where we are though. I mean, we've talked about this a couple of weeks now where it's wild that of all the couples, like, yeah, Jabri and Miona clearly are the ones that have each other's backs more than the rest.
Exactly. It's like, oh, we're really in the dumps now.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on from them then. Let's talk about, speaking of being in the dumps, let's talk about the highs and lows, and a lot of lows, of Bilal and Shaida next. So we've pretty much skipped a week, or not skipped a week, sorry. We've moved on from the gondola date thing they had last week. 77 days. So she's been there a little less than 2 weeks now. And she's in her feelings after the date they had, because she feels very rightfully that he didn't give her any answers that she was looking for when it came to having a baby. So she's going to take some space and take some time alone today. She will not be going to the Jumu'ah prayer this week. So when she brings this up to Bilal, Bilal clearly doesn't like the decision. And she says, well, listen, like I'll be honest with you. I'm level with you. I'm feeling hormonal. I don't really want to go today. And you know, where I come from, like for men, it's compulsory to go Jumu'ah prayer. It's not really for women. And then when Bilal tries to bring up the argument, Bilal essentially says, you know, I feel like it's compulsory though for us men and women to want to learn more about our religion. And he starts talking in this way that she immediately calls out and says, listen, I feel like I'm in a lecture right now. I feel like you're going into lecture mode with me. And I noticed that it happened again later. What has your thoughts been on Bilal and Shaida so far this season?
Oh my God. I'm just like trying so hard, but here I am. Cause what the hell is wrong with this human being? You know what I mean? Like this is where you're like, you're not hamming it up for the cameras. I think you're genuinely a bad person and you have no shame in how you're acting, because you already lost one wife, probably for the same behavior. And now he's so patronizing. He literally will like treat her like a child. And that's probably why he doesn't want to have a kid. It's because he is trying to make her his kid. And then to threaten to leave her on the side of the road. Who is this human? He is hot garbage. And I hate him so much.
Yeah, he He has not been great at all. And it gets worse. We haven't even gotten to the worst part. So then he starts trying to make an argument for her saying that she doesn't really feel like going to Juma prayer today. He says, well, how would you, what about, I don't feel like showering for 3 days. That's what I'm going to do. And I was like, are you really trying to guilt trip this woman to go to Juma prayer over what? Because he really wants her to be involved in the community. That's his big thing, is he wants her to be involved in the community. He wants her to like be a part of what he's built there. And to me, I see no problem with let her take the break if she wants to take. She's actively told you why she wants to take it. Let her take her break, because you have plenty of time in your lifetime to work on this. The last time she went, she was traumatized because you had that big fight. You isolated her. You ignored her. You didn't even really, you know, you didn't give her the open arms of, hey, look at our community at all. So she also has that to deal with. To me, again, a logical person, makes complete sense. Bilal, no, he wants to have his way, and he wants to go about this way where it's like, clearly I'm not forcing your hand. I'm not telling you have to go, but I'm going to try and make you feel bad about it so you go.
Yes, that's exactly it. And it's just like, that's why I feel like it was doing a whole like I think master manipulators are actually good at it. So like this like failed manipulation that he's trying to do to her, to be like, oh, you need to do this. But it's like, one, she's Muslim, right? Like, she is not someone that hasn't been part of the culture, the community, the religion. Like, she has her own way to be a Muslim woman. And the fact that he's like negating that and being like, no, that's just not how you Muslims are. And it's like, maybe that's not your way of living and being, but that's not the same for her. And it's interesting because it feels pretty similar to Judaism sometimes, where a lot of times the men are like commanded, you know, to do the time bound stuff, and the women can kind of like get away with not having to do it. Like, if you're, you know, kind of following the like orthodox way of doing stuff. So I get it. But I also don't appreciate how he was like patronizing her, like she didn't know what the heck she was talking about. Like, that's what pisses me off. And that's what I love. She has like iconic line where she was just like, yes, daddy. No, daddy. Okay, daddy. And I was like, oh, I'm done. I'm so done.
It's just, she's clearly clocked that. She's figured out that when he wants something, he gets into lecture mode. Yes. And it doesn't, and that's never going to work on her, because that's not an effective communication for her. She doesn't take to that. So she's noticed it, and now she knows when it's happening, what he's trying to do, that he's trying to manipulate. Similarly to when Jibri's mom was talking to him that other episode, he immediately said, you're doing the therapy stuff on me again. Stop it. Like, when people notice that stuff, it's not going to work anymore. And I hate it, because Bilal, the way he keeps behaving, it's very much like, oh, I didn't do anything wrong because I didn't yell or I didn't like get angry. It's like, yeah, but you are actively trying to force an outcome that the other person doesn't necessarily want at all. But then all of this conversation gets put on pause, Sasha, because he finds a pin on the cushion that Shaida removed the pin from her hijab to just put aside for a second, put in the cushion. And he was so mad about this, like talking about, do you know how expensive this furniture is? Like, this is not, why can't you just put it away? And,
oh my God, you know, is this an air couch? Oh, I love Queen. What a lady. Oh my God. She's like, welcome to having a hijabi wife. And I was like, get his ass, because he can't, he literally can't take an equal partner. Like, he needs someone that's like, I don't even think submissive is the right word. I feel like he needs like a mute, like a person that just like will be like, okay, yeah, you say so, I'll do what you want, sir, shut up.
Yeah, like, every relationship is built on compromise. It's two people coming together trying to figure out the best way to make a harmonious living for the two of them. And with a lot of the 90-day couples, it's usually very lopsided, which is where a lot of the drama comes from. Mm-hmm. And in this instance, I feel like Shaida doesn't think it's a big deal. It's just a pin. I moved it off because, you know, it was uncomfortable. I just put it aside for a second. I may have forgotten about it. And whereas Bilal, he's like, I have a certain way I like my house to look and to feel and to clean, et cetera, et cetera. And therefore, it has to be this way. And neither of them see eye to eye. So it's not going to work on them, because when they do talk about it, again, it's the way that each of them are talking about it that does not favor their situation whatsoever. So ultimately, when this segment is wrapping up, we do hear Bilal mention that, you know, the number one reason he became attracted to Shaida was her faith. And he said, there's an old saying, family that prays together stays together. And I thought, is that a saying or are you just saying it? Because I don't think that's necessarily like a quote, but listen, we'll run with it. That's fine. So he goes
because living in the South, I feel like I've heard it a lot, but maybe that's just me. I don't know.
I feel like I've heard that for everything, though. It's like, families that barbecue together stay together. Families that, you know, play together stay together. Like, I feel like that's a very, like, families that blank together stay together.
It's a song.
It's a song.
Yes. The family that prays together stays together. At least, I don't know, again. Oh, it's released in 2022. So just kidding.
Okay. Well, I don't know. See,
so maybe they took it's chicken and egg. What came first?
Yeah. Well, this whole segment ends with him leaving to Jumu'ah prayer. And we start with us with Shaida, where Shaida takes her socks off, does wudu, which is, you know, getting cleaning up and like washing before prayer. She does that at the kitchen sink and then prays. And then Bilal comes home. He's brought some stuff over. And then when he goes over to the sink, he's like, oh my God, there is so much water here. What did you do? He's like, you know, I did wudu at the sink. And then I prayed. And he was like, when I left the house, it was spotless. She's like, it's just some water. So he pretty much like in a very indirect way gets her to clean the water and stuff up, but it's still making like offhanded comments about like how there's like a whole puddle and like it's so bad. And then when she goes to the bed, because I guess he bought her some like food or something. So she says, can you get me a knife, please? And when she says that, he laughs and says, baby, come over. And I thought, oh, this has he clocked that she might be a little bit upset with him and is going to hug her. That's what my stupid mind thought. No. This was just the beginning of the lecture, because he's like, look at all the silverware. And he starts like saying, this goes here and this goes here. And that's when I noticed the luxury voice. It was very much like you're repeating very obvious stuff in a way that's like not received well. Where it's like, you know, so this is a big spoon. So we put the big spoon, that's right, in the big spoon area. And then we put the little forks, they go over here. And, oh, this one's not really clean that well. And Shaida's getting very irritated because obviously, first of all, the lecture thing. But second of all, he's not, you know, he's doing that where he's lecturing and he's like, oh, these are not like clean properly. And Shaida's feeling defensive, rightfully, because she's in a position where there's no praise here. It's just you talking down to me. So why can't there be any thank yous? Why can't there be any, you're doing a good job of trying or whatever? And he's like, no, of course. Thank you, Shaida. Thank you for doing that. And then he says this as he's holding literally every piece of silverware that was washed. And I'm guessing he's going to rewash again. So my God, this couple is doomed. It's so, this is wild to me.
And I just, why can't, like, who should I call to get her back home? Because free yourself, queen. This isn't the place. Because he even says, right, I want her to feel like a queen. Meanwhile, making her Cinderella. Like, stop it. Just stop it.
Yeah. It's again, this is the couple where their biggest issue is one wants babies, one clearly doesn't. But here we are arguing over some where the spoons and forks should go, because we're not addressing the real problem. And with Bilal, I don't know if they're ever going to address the real problem. So my God, everyone, strap in, get a snack, because on this Hot Mess Express, Bilal and Shaida 100% are going to be passengers all the way to the end. And it's going to be very difficult to take our eyes off of it. So the next time on, it's going to be very similar, where they're going to argue about who's negative and who's fussy and who's. So again, more of the same with Bilal and Shaida. Not much has changed. Let's move on over to Ari and Binyam next. Okay. So Ari and Binyam, you, of course, are familiar with them. Sasha. We have talked about them a lot in the past. And how did you feel seeing them come back once again?
I couldn't believe it. Like, because I was like, isn't this story over? Like, what's going on? I went to a wedding this weekend, no joke. My friend's Ethiopian. And we just kept being like, I'm confusion. Are you construction? And over and over again. And like, it seems like everyone in the community knows about him. So I was like, why wasn't he invited to the wedding? Like, he could have done a performance. And now watching this episode, I was like, he needs the coin, baby. So I really wish my friend would have hired him to do some, you know, dance at the Mel's. It would have been amazing.
And you would have gone to meet him. That would have been
imagine.
Cool.
Yeah, I would have got a cameo just for you. Don't worry.
Oh, you're too nice. You're too honestly. He of all like the 90 day men, he would be one of the better ones, I would say, to get a cameo right? from. I currently have two in my lifetime. One was from flipping Brandon, and one was from Ben from last season. Thank you, Rob, for that one. Oh my God.
Oh God. But yeah, it's just, I mean, like, I don't know why they're back, but maybe controversial that I would rather them back than Yara and Jovi, who they keep trying to also shove down our throat. I feel like at least like with Binny and Ari, we get some like comedy out of it. And especially this episode, right? When Ari's trying to fight people, I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm very embarrassed for them as well. So the entire story with them was all about MMA. This was the MMA week for Ari and Binyam. So Ari and Binyam have found a gym for Binyam to train at, which is about a 45-minute drive away. Mind you, they've only been in the States 10 days now. And he wants to train to become a fighter. He's already told us this. And he thinks he can make some money off of this. So he thinks it'll be good. So they go into the gym. The gym looks great. Binyam starts training with this trainer, and the trainer says he has great foundation. I think he could get a fight at some point. They find out that it'll take about 2 to 4 hours per day of training to get this done. And right after they leave or walk away, Ari tells us, and well, he has to, we don't have time for him to train half a day. It's like, you just heard 2 to 4 hours. That is not half a day. Even if you're counting it as a full 4 hours and then 45-minute drive there and back, that's 6 hours. I know that sounds like a lot, but also if he's doing everything else afterwards, then it is a good work-life balance. Because we find out in the next segment, Sasha, that Ari has started working remotely for her friend's social media company. And she's starting to feel overextended because she's looking after Avi. She's working remote. And she feels like with all the time Binyam's putting it to training, that she feels tired of this because she feels like he's doing his own thing while she's looking after everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is another thing where, what did you expect? Like,
right.
What? First of all, doesn't our dad own a practice? Why aren't we working there? That's like number one question, because I'm pretty sure when we were introduced to them in the other way package, that's what her job was. But I didn't do research on it, so I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what she was doing. So that's number one. I'm like, I'm confusion. Why are you not working with your dad? And then secondly, like, is it that, you know, all these 90 Day Fiancé people got a taste of, what is it, like fame and like social media? So they're like, that's where I want to work. And that's where I want to make my money. And it's like, just work for your parents and like have an easier few months.
Well, like, that's the thing, is that I feel like I'm trying to think of why would she want this job? And like, I think working remote is a huge plus because she gets to, you know, be home and like take care of Avi when she needs to. But then also, wasn't the appeal of you moving here that your parents could take care of Avi as well? And don't they live a block down or like two buildings away? So that could be a play here. So I don't know. I feel like from the minute Binyam shared this ambition, she has been very much like, this is a waste of time, or like, this isn't good. And obviously it's not going to pay right away, but he was told he has the potential from the trainer and he's putting in the work. Clearly he's like, Because like, I think it's for you to say you want to do something is one thing, but if you are putting work towards it, I assume you're somewhat serious about it. And 2 to 4 hours a day is not like you taking it not seriously. So I clearly think he thinks he's doing something for the family, but I think that she, I think in her mind, Sasha, they would do very similar jobs where he works remotely too, and then they can both do it together. Whereas right now she feels like I'm doing this alone and he's doing that alone. But then in my arrangement, because I am work from home, I'm taking care of Avi and he's not. And I don't think that's fair.
Yeah. And right, she's having to drive him. I think that's really what's grinding her gears. But I also thought about that where why can't he just Uber? Like back and forth, because
45 minutes, Sasha, that's a hefty Uber price, I imagine.
Yeah, I guess it's because I live in the Bay, right? Like where sometimes you have to Uber to from where I live to South Bay. And it's just like it's an hour Uber. But yeah, I mean, it is hefty. But wouldn't it be to me, it's like how much of your if you're trying to save money, but like time isn't maybe non-quantifiable, but like there's so much time being wasted, right? In that, like, because if he's training for 4 hours and you're at the park for 4 hours and you can't send emails, isn't that cutting into your money? So that's why I think I'm going back and forth where it's like, can we figure this out? Can we get him like a, you know, an Uber service, like a van drop off? Like, my God, it's just, it feels so inefficient, the whole thing.
Yeah, I've always felt that they are both bad. And I feel like every season that is just more and more proof. They are both not great because then the next scene after, so she does drive him to the gym again. This is like a couple days later. I'm sorry, about 10 days later. And in these 10 days, he has been going to the gym. He's been training. They've got an amateur fight set up for him. And while he's going to train, she for the next 3 hours, like goes to the park and like is doing some work stuff while looking after Avi, and they go into the gym to pick him up, and he is sparring with another fighter, a woman, and she does not love this at all. She feels completely blindsided and pissed off. The thing is, initially I was like, what's the big deal? They're both fighters. They're fighting. Like, that's what they do. Well, that shouldn't be an issue. But when she cites that he didn't mention anything, that's when I was like, oh, there's the Binium I know, the shady one that doesn't speak and tries to avoid conflict by not telling his family he's moving. Now, I was like, okay, he probably knew that she wouldn't be happy about this. But instead of talking to her about it, he decided, I'll just, you know, I will not say anything. If she says, was the gym good? I'll say yes. If she says, did you fight with people? I'll say yes, but I will not go into detail. So this is, again, another point where I'm like, you're overreacting, but also, no, he didn't say it. Okay, I see why you're pissed off.
Yeah, it's like avoider McAvoiderson, right? Like, that's his MO. So are we surprised? And also, can you imagine just like going into an MMA thing into like a gym, right? You've drove this man 45 minutes. You've played with the baby for like 4 hours or 2 hours, whichever one. And then you just see him like tangled up with a woman. Oh my God.
It's So that happens. But then also, I feel like Ari made a whole, like a big spectacle at this gym and was like talking mad smack to this fighter, talking about, oh, and you have a full face of makeup, huh? Okay. And oh, you're wearing fake eyelashes at the gym, even though it's just gym, huh? And I thought the fighter carried herself really calmly and then had a confessional where she said, yes, equal rights, equal fights. Like, we spar with anybody that comes here. We're both actively have a fight coming. That's why we're doing it. And I was like, Ari, you are mad at the wrong. Why are you talking smack to her? She's done nothing. She has no idea what your living situation is. She has no idea what he has said or not said. It's not on her at all. And then Ari did this very awkward thing where she tried to like discuss with the trainer the fighter. Like, say, okay, let's say you have a boyfriend and your boyfriend didn't tell you that he was like hanging out with a woman or whatever. Say, well, I don't have a boyfriend, but you know, we both have a fight. We both have to work out. So like, I don't see this as a big deal. And then clearly she didn't get the answer she wants. So she turns to the trainer. Like, what about you? He's like, I don't know your business. I'm not trying to know your business. This is not on me. Like, Very mature from both of you.
I know. He literally was like, take that mess out of here. Like, yeah. He was just like, we don't need this energy here. I was like, oh, damn. And, you know, and I did want to say, like, I don't think that's fair to put that on the fighter. Like, who, as you said, one, who is she, right? Like, what does it matter to her? But also, like, why can't women be feminine looking or, like, you know, own their femininity while also doing all of that? Like, to me, that makes no sense. To where she's like, why do you have eyelashes on? Maybe they're good eyelashes and won't come off. Like, damn.
Oh God. I couldn't with this scene, because I think that this is something the two of you need to talk about and two of you need to discuss, and no one else needs to be involved in it. I definitely think they would benefit from therapy, because I think a lot of their problems is both miscommunication and omission from Binyam, because Binyam will omit when he thinks, oh, this is not a big deal and I think she might get upset, so I'd rather not say anything to not have her be upset. But it's still something that you should tell her. You know what I mean? So even if it gets rough, it's still something she should know. By you deciding that it's not a big deal and that you are not going to say anything, you are actively saying, I know what's best and my partner doesn't, which is not okay.
Yeah. And that's why I think most of their issues with the sisters also come from. It's because he just, like, kind of ostriches, right? Like, where he just tucks his head in the sand, but his body out and exposed. So he's constantly getting exposed. Constantly stuff is coming out and everyone around him is almost like catching flack for his actions. So that's why it bothers me. So, like, that's why he bothers me so much.
Yeah. It's hard not to feel bothered by this, because we've watched their relationship for seasons now, and it's always been the same issue where she's mad at him for not talking about it. He doesn't talk about it. He makes it worse by not talking about it. And then she goes in too much and too harshly on him. And then it's like, oh, now I feel bad for him, but I also know he's done wrong. And it's just that loop over and over. And I am sick of it.
Oh my God. And I just couldn't stop laughing, because I was like, one, get me off this, you know, ride. Like, I hate it. But also, like, if you're going to be dumb enough to, like, buck up to an MMA fighter, maybe you can come back next season. Because, like, how dumb did she look? Like, trying to walk up to her and Benny had to hold her back. I was like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, just stop this. Well, thankfully, TLC decided, yeah, maybe we do need a hiatus from them for a little bit. So they will not be back next week, thankfully. That's one thing. We can get some breathing room from Ari and Binyam. So let's take another break. One last break. When we get back, we will talk about Eve and Muhammad. All right. So Eve and Muhammad, last time we saw them, they had gone out for dinner with Eve's friends. It did not last well. The famous line of, are you going to choose a bikini over me, happened. And then she went to the couch to sleep and they did not sleep together. The next day from that fight is where we're going to pick up here. 81 days, so 9 days of Muhammad being in the States, where Eve mentions that she feels like there's this aspect of control that Muhammad's trying to have with her that she doesn't like, but also she feels bad that Muhammad felt uncomfortable, and she kind of wants to just take a step back, forget about yesterday, and fix things up. So she's going to take him to a nearby mosque. And what have your thoughts been on these two before we get any further?
Like, are they in the same relationship?
I do not think they've signed up for the same relationship. Nope. I think they got the wrong perception, and it's just going into mayhem.
Yeah, because I think y'all were talking to two different people on, like, whatever website y'all met, and then somehow the algorithm by mistake put y'all together, because what the actual F is going on with these two, right? Like, they have no idea about the other person's needs, wants, culture. Like, I just, oh my God, I can't believe that this is real. And this is a couple we would really benefit on before the 90 days. I think this is the one we should have seen because there's so many questions. Every word, Puya, they say, I'm just like, what's going on? What's going on? That bidet thing, I was like, I understand where he's coming from, right? Like where it's like, oh, strange men, like it's not allowed. But ma'am, how you didn't know this? And how did he not make that expectation clear? Like, what is going on?
See, here's the thing. When this whole thing first started, I genuinely felt like, oh, he did not tell her exactly what he wants. And she is shocked because I never knew this. There were so many rules that I was supposed to follow or do moving forward. But then the last couple episodes, he keeps mentioning that he has talked about these expectations before. So either he didn't talk about these expectations and she has them, or she did talk. He did talk about these expectations and she didn't listen to them. I don't know what to believe. What I do know is that I felt this from the beginning. They are not meant for each other at all.
Oh, it's horrible. Like one, he speaks in lowercase, right? Like I've never met. Maybe I have, but I don't think I could be around them for too long. So I'm just going to say I never met someone that speaks like this, right? Like where he's like, and I am just I can't even do it. I can't do it. My volume is just not that low. It never will be. Like I've lost my voice and I'm still talk higher than him. So to me, I'm like, did she hear you? Maybe that's the confusion. Cause what the actual F is this? And then when she does talk about the wine, right, later on, she did say like, well, he told him I'd have it once in a while. But technically, I think you've already had it twice. So there's a lot of just expectations that are not going to ever get met. And why did this man come here? Just stay in Egypt. Oh,
yeah. So now the plan is to go to this mosque and she wants him to like, you know, see a little bit of the community that they have here. Hopefully that'll make him feel more at home, which I believe it does and it's going to do. But he tells us, and this is the beginning of us really hearing this for the first time, where he says that I'm hoping this will show Eve how beautiful this religion is. And then I want to see if she becomes interested in the religion, you know, maybe even convert. I was like, oh my God, I do not think this is ever going to work out. But listen, we move. So she is told that, you know, you have to wear a scarf to go in the mosque. And she seems completely surprised by this, which then to your point, Sasha, my thought was, how much does she know about Muhammad's culture and upbringing and background at all? Because this is as far as like the mosque goes, this is a very fundamental, like hijab is definitely a part of it and has always been a part of it. So to me, I was like, oh, okay, you didn't know this, that's fine. But then Muhammad starts before they even get in the car. Like, oh my God, this scarf makes you look way more beautiful. This is great. I think this is amazing. But then Eve tells us in confessional that, you know, I don't want to wear something that is not true to form for me. I don't want to do that. But then when they get to the mosque, she's also completely surprised by how quickly the gender segregation starts out, where she's like, all right, the women's section is on this side, the men's section is on this side. And she's not used to it at all. We do see a emotional moment from Muhammad where he tells us that his father was he was very big on religion and he lost his father when he was 14. His father got sick and passed away. And you can see the tears form in Muhammad's eyes as he's telling us this. So he is wanted to, in his words, he wants to be the guy that his dad would have wanted. And I think the religion is a big part of that for him. Mm-hmm. And he also feels like when he's praying, when he's in the mosque, that he's connecting with his dad, which having been to a mosque, I can tell you firsthand, like it really, that energy, that power, it really, really is there where it's so quiet and it's, yeah. So he feels this strong connection when he's there. So I kind of started understanding a lot more how important Muhammad's religion is to him and where the foundation of that has come from. But when they start talking to, so he starts talking to this man, Rafe.
Yeah.
He is introduced to this man who was at the mosque. And Rafe, you know, mentions that, yeah, like I can see why this might be tough for Muhammad because, you know, people have liberal attitudes is what I have in my notes, is what he said. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, yeah, I'm excited to spend time with Muhammad. I'm excited to spend time with him and have him, you know, join us. And then Eve does mention that she feels people are nice and she's glad that they've got a community here, but she doesn't really have any intention of converting. She doesn't, like, this isn't for her. And Muhammad's disappointed that she doesn't want to convert, but I thought, what is this surprising? Again, how is this surprising to you both?
Yes, that's what I kept going back on. And that's literally what I have in my notes. How is this not a conversation? But if you know, notice in his confessional, he says maybe she needs to convert or become a Muslim for this relationship to work out. So that, I don't think he told her that part. I think he in his mind thought it would be okay because she'll, you know, follow everything. So maybe she just won't be Muslim, like, you know, officially, but like she's gonna do everything. So maybe it's fine. And now I think he's like, oh, maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know what happened at the trip they had because I don't feel like anything got talked about to me. So, so he's disappointed that she wouldn't want to convert. And then he tells us that he will not marry someone who won't prioritize his needs. So to me, that means I would want her to convert. Or the thing is, I think in his head, if she converts, she will by default do the stuff that he has expectations of in the relationship, because the expectations you have in the relationship, there's a lot of pushback and she's not comfortable doing. So I think he thinks if she converts, she'll do them. So that works for me. But we move into the next scene and Eve is trying to, she wants to go hang out with her friend Tatiana and, you know, have a little dinner. She tells us that she wants to have a little, you know, have some wine because it's been a lot. It's been a lot of stress here being with him. And as she's about to leave, he does lay the guilt trip a little bit. He's like, you know, I thought with Theron not here, we could maybe hang out, have dinner, watch a movie together. And she's like, yeah, well, it'll be quick. I'll be back soon, I promise. And then he's like, are you going to go drink with her? Are you going to drink? She's like, yeah, you know, I've told you before, I want to have the occasional wine. And I feel like tonight I might have the occasional wine. And he's like, it's up to you. He's like, okay, why are you guilt tripping her? That, oh my God. Again, some of the season, like I've enjoyed the season, but I feel like I'm feeling more uncomfortable than usual this season. And I don't like it.
And it's probably really close to you as well. But it's just, it's so hard. Like I said, I like, you know, it's fun when it's, you know, a little bit of like, oh, they're just like an Ari or Binny where you're just like, oh, like you're just like being dumb. But this is just like, this is real life. And I just don't think he understands where he is. Like, I just don't think he does. And she's older. And I don't mean that in like any way, but I just mean like, even at 30, I feel like I am pretty set in my ways. And I don't know that I could change that drastically for someone. So I want to end it. Just leave. Just go back.
Please just call it quits. So we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Seriously.
So fast forward to the dinner. And now Eve is with her friend and they start talking. And Eve's friend asks, well, Tatiana asks, well, what did he think of us? And she says, you know, he was a little offended. You know, they usually don't talk about sex at all. And she goes, well, did he yell at you? Like, no, we didn't sleep in the same bed that night. I'll tell you that. And then Tatiana immediately got defensive. Like, yeah, we're not bad people because we talk about sex. And I feel like this is the part where I started getting a little bit frustrated because in this conversation also, Eve brings up, yeah, we went to the mosque and we're immediately separated. And I feel like, why are there so many effing rules? And I was like, I'm sorry if you felt inconvenienced by that. I feel like ultimately when it has come to being in their house or her own personal like situation, I've always been like, nope, you cannot, like, you don't have to do anything you don't want to at all. But when it comes to the mosque, when it comes to like the religious practices, if you have agreed to go, this is the way that, you know, life is done. This is the way they do it. And I felt a little bit insulted by the way she was talking about it and the way she talked about it. And then with Tatiana, I felt like listen, you didn't know that Muslim people may not necessarily openly talk about sex. And it may not be something that, it may be something that you do not understand or you don't think is strange or abnormal or anything of the sort. But just because you don't have that line of thinking doesn't mean that it is stupid or bad or negative. And I felt a lot of negative connotation coming from both of them when discussing this stuff, which didn't sit well with me.
This is like, I think what comes down to, right? Like Americans and their mindset. I feel like they just don't. And I know I'm generalizing, obviously, but like, especially on 90 Day, I feel like these Americans sometimes like have this air of entitlement and they don't necessarily understand anything that's like outside of their lane. Like it almost for them, I think feels like, no, this is our lane. This is it. And if you're on the outside of it, then like you're horrible because I don't even think. You brought it up yet that the friend was also talking. This is what made me uncomfortable is she because she starts crying and she's like, I don't want to lose you because, you know, this is how abusive relationships start and he's controlling, blah, blah, blah. And it just felt like this is like his reality, right? Like this is just how things are in Egypt. And I don't know that it's fair necessarily to say like that is being abusive or even assigning that to the religion, right? To say like, well, then Islam is abusive or, you know, like does that to women. It's just like, it's not true. It's just y'all aren't used to that. And that's not your reality. That doesn't equal that. That's the actual reality. That's just your perception. And that's what I felt uncomfortable with because I was like, no, I just think they're not on the same page and they shouldn't be together.
Yeah. And my whole thing from the beginning with them has been that if he wants to live a more conservative life, that is completely fair. If she doesn't want to live a conservative life or a more like life where it's more of a, we don't talk about this stuff or we dress more modestly. That is also completely fair and completely allowed on both sides. But if you are coming together, you have to find the middle and you have to find what works with you. And both, neither of you are necessarily working towards that. He clearly doesn't feel comfortable being anywhere further from where he is. And she doesn't feel comfortable giving any more things up than she already has. Which again is completely fine, but please, mm-hmm. then you are not a match and you need to understand that you are not going to work out because that's not going to help. And then talking about it like this isn't going to help either because the whole thing is at the start of the episode, she mentions that she feels like, you know, she doesn't like that he felt disrespected and he felt judged. So she wants to put it aside. But when she's talking with her friend Tatiana and Tatiana's talking about it like this, I didn't necessarily feel like she pushed back at all or defended him mm-hmm. where like if she doesn't feel that way, I'm completely fine with it, but I'm only bringing this up because she mentioned at the start that she wanted to, you know, pull back from this a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And and don't you feel like they're villainizing Islam? Like and the reason I bring that up is because with Bilal, right? Like, we're just like, no, you like are annoying. You're horrible. So we're okay with calling this stuff out. But again, he irritates me for different reasons, but I still feel like they're just like villainizing something that they just have no idea about and that they shouldn't have then made that step to bring him here.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is that when it comes to Bilal and Shahida, they're both Muslim, and we do see that when it comes to the religion, they both believe, they both practice, and they don't have, like, that is not a part of the relationship where there's a clash. This week, we had the situation with wanting to go to Jum'ah prayer versus not necessarily feeling like you want to go or not having to go, and that was a bit of a cause of a friction, but that was mostly because of the lecturing of it all. Whereas here, it is the way they've set up Muhammad's whole storyline from the beginning is Muhammad saying stuff like the person who's going to love me is going to love me as my mother. He says that, are you going to choose a bikini over me? He mentions that, oh, maybe it'll be better if she converts. So from any angle you look at it, it's that Muhammad's putting pressure on Eve to convert and for Eve to be living her life a certain way, and that it, that would be taking away from the her freedom of dress, her freedom of expression, her freedom of being who she is, which all of these things we can agree on would be sacrifices she would make that she doesn't want to make. But mm-hmm. when, and that part is like, you know, we've discussed that and it's been fine so far.
Exactly.
In this episode, it did feel like that, especially, and I think it was after she, again, she went to the mosque and was very surprised by the gender segregation, but then talked about it very negatively. It didn't come from a place of like, oh, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that it was like this. And that was different for me. That some of that was brought up, but then for me, it was the outrage of like, why are there all these effing rules? I was like, well, just because this is an environment you're not familiar with doesn't make it wrong and doesn't
exactly.
like
exactly.
Yeah. So it's difficult. And like, this is probably, and I'll be very honest, right now, I have a moment of transparency with the listeners. This has been the hardest couple for me to talk about in my 2 years of talking 90 Day Fiancé mm-hmm. because actively I have lived both sides. I have been in a place where it was a lot more conservative and it was a lot more regularly practiced with Islam. And then I've also been living in North America where I've not had that. So I've seen both sides. And when I'm seeing all of this on the show, it is very frustrating to me because ultimately I do not think Muhammad and Eve are a fit at all. And I do not think they belong together, but the longer they are together, the more of these conversations we will have to have on the podcast. And up until this point, I was fine with it. But then this episode, again, it was the language that really didn't sit well with me. It was very difficult to talk about today.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing that. Like, I mean, that's a lot of emotional labor you have to do to get through this. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about you when I was watching this episode, because again, we even have the juxtaposition of Bilal to Muhammad, right? Or to Muhammad and Eve. I want to put them together. So that's why I think it feels hard, because where it feels more weighted with Muhammad, because it's just like, if she even was like, hey, he's asking me to convert, but he's never said that before, that's a different conversation. Or, hey, I didn't realize all of these things, so I need to reevaluate, right? Like, take some onus on yourself about it. And there's a way to speak about the mosque without being disrespectful. Like, why are you being disrespectful? Because to me, we could even talk about, oh, why are these people asking her to convert? But her attitude toward it's all, I was like, just why even bring this man over then? Because like, it's such a bad attitude. Like, and she's been to Egypt, right?
Yeah, they've done at least one trip where she took the trip over. Yeah.
Exactly. So what did you expect, where he's magically just going to turn that piece of himself off? You know, like, it just, it makes no sense. And I do feel bad for him, because I don't agree with him, but that doesn't equal that I feel like I need to like constantly shit on him, because like, he is just doing what he knows, right? Like, that's been his reality in Egypt. And this woman allegedly has said, hey, I'm going to throw out my clothes for you, right? She said all this. I'm going to throw out my clothes. I'll like change different. I'll like drink less wine. So in his mind, he's like, well, you've already said you're wanting to change. So what's going on?
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, is where I co-sign everything you said about him. And when it comes to her, I feel for her too. She is a woman who has Theron, her son, with her. She has all these friends that she's made, her squad. She, you know, makes a living. She lives her life a certain way, and that's how she wants to live it. And I totally recognize all of the sacrifices she made for with Muhammad moving here. But ultimately, the bottom line with the two of them is he expects more. And I think she's given as much as she can give. So this is where the storyline with them is going to start getting a little bit more of a clash, is now, because now he's actively trying to show more of a, this is what I'm expecting. And she's like, I really can't sign up for this, which I guess we should have foreseen that if we're talking about these two are not a fit for each other, that it's going to get a whole lot worse before they split up. I'm assuming they will split up. So we're just here for the ride. And I'm having a hard time with this one, but we'll get there when we get there. Let's talk about their next time on here where she talks about not wanting to convert. And there's mentions of Muhammad mentioning that he might be wasting his time here. So it's, again, I'll talk about it next week, but this is going to be the conversation for a long time with them. And all I hope is that the conversations had are a little bit more nuanced or a little bit less negative leaning on both parties. I'm hoping. Fingers crossed. We'll see.
We pray.
Yes. All right. Last but certainly never least, let's finish off this podcast by talking about Jibri and Miona. The last time we saw them, Jibri told us and Miona that, hey, we have an opportunity to work with this producer out of Chicago for our album. And David has invited me, like told me to come with them. We're reuniting the band. We really need to do this for the music. If we finish the music, I think we'll make a lot of money out of this. And Miona said, listen, that's all well and good. Give me the beach wedding. We can go to Chicago. That's the trade-off. Let's do that. Looks like they've agreed because they are now on their way to Chicago. They're making their way there. And we learn a little bit more about David and Jibri's relationship here on the road to Chicago. So as they're driving, we get a confessional where Jibri mentions that David and him, they met in high school, and initially, Jibri made fun of David's accent. David and him got into trading blows, and David put him in a coma for 3 days.
Like, can we talk about that? Because
yes.
What? Like, how can they just gloss over that? And he was smiling when he said it. I was like, are you, like, okay? I mean, you're not okay, but how? And maybe, again, this is coming from, like, us and immigrant parents. But, like, imagine that my mom would never let me be friends with such a person ever in life.
And that's the thing, is that it's wild that they then end up where they are, where they're best friends. And he is, like, his godfather kind of, like, relationship that we've discussed on this pod. Because it all started with him making fun of David for his accent, getting knocked out. And then later starts dating this girl who turns out to be David's twin sister. What sitcom is this from?
What telenovela is this? Because how do you not know that? So there's a new kid in your very small town with an accent. I'm assuming said new kid, there's two of them. It's pretty obvious if there were two of them. So that's when I'm like, are you lying for the camera? Because, like, I don't believe this. I can't.
It's very, I mean, and we have met Jibri's parents. We have met Mahala. We know that if her son got put in a coma, she would not let that fly. So I'm like, I don't know. Fascinating stuff. Okay, fascinating stuff. We should.
And that's not even the worst of it. Like, that's, it just gets weirder and weirder, this whole story. But, like, I don't know about you, but at first I was like, oh, David is, like, cool. He's the voice of reason. And then the more of these high school stories I'm listening to, the more I'm like, what? Oh, you can't be friends with him. I do refuse to allow this.
Yeah. So, well, that's the thing, right? Is that I'm shocked, but we are going to now meet David ourselves properly in person. So let's see how their relationship is now. So we get to Chicago, and mind you, I think Jibri and Miona are the furthest along on the timeline because they are 54 days away from the wedding. So they're closing in on the midway point of the three months, the 90 days. And they're on their way to Chicago. They finally meet David. Now, David, we learn right now, is the owner and operator of a trucker company. And that is something that he actively does for work, alongside, of course, the music being like a side hustle. And on the way there, Jibri tells us that he hopes they get along, Miona and David, because if they don't, he doesn't want to jeopardize his music career or have to pick between the two of them. Now, we find that when they get there, Sasha, David immediately offers to give him a job. As far as trucking goes. And this is where we learned that when things were going down with the pandemic, David offered him a job and told him to, like, said, you know, this is something you can make money off of. So Jibri got his commercial license to drive a truck, but then decided to focus on the creative process and his music because, and I'm quoting, that will make us more money than any truck job would do. Okay, sure, fair point. All right. But then when they get there, David again says, hey, like, you know, that one's yours right there, that truck. If we, you can do that. And then like, you know, we can do that and we can work on the music. And Jupiter's like, no, we should just focus on the music. And my thought was, are you telling me that you have had a job waiting for you this whole time and you've actively chosen not to pursue this job because you think music, you need to put all your focus on the music to make that work, but then also your band's not been together for the last couple of months? Is that what I'm hearing? Because wow.
That's what I'm saying. Nothing makes sense in any of this. Their whole segment, right? Like, it just didn't make sense. I was like, so you have free money, your future partner or your current partner, future wife, wants to do things that cost said money, but instead you're going to focus on trying to get the social media thing to hit. But why not both? That's what I don't understand. And I think David says that. But also, David has a black scent, and I don't appreciate that. Like, it makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, so David, the first thing we learned from the story, right, was that he had an accent and got mocked for it from Jibri.
Yeah.
That accent is gone. A new accent has taken its place here. But I was just, this whole scene confused me, Sasha, because I definitely noticed exactly what David was doing with Miona, which was undermine her and be shady towards her. But then he's also actively looking out for Jibri by offering him a job and trying to like help him out. So I was like, do I hate you or do I think you're actually looking out for your guy? Ultimately, I think he's like protective of Jibri, but Jibri is a full adult and he knows what, you know, he can make decisions in his relationship. This is where I talked about earlier that I feel like Jibri and Miona are the one couple that always look out for each other. Miona has his back completely. And when Jibri talks about, you know, wanting to focus on music and stuff, Miona says, yeah, you know, what's the point of him doing this if it doesn't make him happy? So that's what's important. But in my back of my head, I'm also like, Miona, don't you want that beach wedding? Vibes are not going to pay for a beach wedding. Vibes are not going to pay for y'all to move out of that house. And they're both riding off Vibes, which again is adorable. And I love that they have each other's backs like this, but their heads are in the clouds a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why are you giving away money? And no one's saying you can't do what you end up doing or where you want to end up. But maybe let's like support it with like cash, because I know she wants to get out of that damn house with his parents. So guess how that's going to happen? By Jibri having a job.
Yeah. Yeah. So the decline happens. I will not accept the trucking job. Let's focus on the music. Okay. So we fast forward to the next day, I guess, and they go to the studio, Jibri goes to the studio and he links up with his old bandmates again. David is there. We've got Brandy there. And we've got a gentleman with a wild mask on called, what was his name? I wrote it down in my notes.
Oh, Space Cash.
Of course, Space Cash, but the S is a dollar sign. Otherwise, it's not cash. So,
correct.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he's just a guy from Iowa, but he does a good job of being in character. I was like, okay. Well, he was clearly walking into the studio wearing this, so he's very much in character. We do not see this man's face. Mm-hmm. Space Cash is just Space Cash, I guess. And when they get there, they're getting ready to do the music and stuff. And this is where I was like, okay, David, I'm now moving away from you trying to look out for your guy. And I can see the shade you're putting on Miona, because David says, hey, everyone, we should just put our phones on, do not disturb, and get in this sesh and get it cooking. Completely acceptable request because you're trying to like be in the zone. Cool. But Jibri says, let me just text Miona and let her know we're about to start. And then we'll start. And that's not good enough for David. David's like, why do you have to text her? Just, you know, put do not disturb. Why are you doing that? This is where, of course, he loses his cool. Jibri does finally. And he kind of does like a play. It looks like a play slap initially, but a lot more harsher than a play slap than what Shaida and Bilal had.
Oh.
1,000,000,000%. Like, this was more of a, okay, this is like a fighting slap a little bit. So they start throwing down and the episode ends. What are these two doing?
Oh my. So that was producers, right? Like riling David up before he got there. Because to me, like, that's the most normal thing you do in a relationship, to say like, hey, not going to be able to check my phone for a while. And that's what Brandy, the other bandmate, actually says. She's like, well, actually, like, she's alone. Miona is alone. So I understand why he might want to just let her know, or like, you know, kind of be with her and let her know this stuff. But David was just like on one. And I was like, this has to be out, because they do this on Love and Hip Hop a lot, where producers will like get you liquored up right before a studio session. And then they'll like start like feeding you lines, or, you know, riling you up with alcohol. And then the fights happen. So to me, I was like, is it that? Because nothing else makes sense. To me, that was the most normal thing Jibri did.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like the two of them, ultimately, my biggest qualm is that while they are definitely probably the most strongest couple, they have each mm-hmm. other's backs, they support each other, they don't let anyone smack talk the other, they try and work together. Where they lack is the logic, in that the things we want, we got to make money, but we cannot just like dream and hope that the music kicks off. We can't hope that everything just works out, because they have these bigger demands they want. They want a beach wedding. They want to move to LA. This is going to cost a lot of money, and you might have to do some other stuff for the money. But then David, up until this point, I was like, I don't know what the beef is. Is he really like that shady towards Miona? Now that I've seen it firsthand, he is. So do I think that it's going to come to a point where Jibri's going to have to do the thing he didn't want, which is decide between them? Mm-hmm. I feel like that could be the case. But I will also say that the whole, like, you know, the last time these two fought, they became best friends after it. Are they going to be best right? friends after this one? Maybe. It's wild. Jibri's relationships never cease to amaze me.
And I feel like, I'm like, Jibri, are you okay? Like, yeah, like, pain is not love. Do you know that? Like, I'm confusion, because he's so wanting to, you know, be like loved and wanting to like acceptance. And it's just, I don't know Miona like that, but it's just, it's so weird that he is okay with David's current behavior. Cause we know like before that David kind of was like good, but right. before, I'm like, this is not normal behavior. And the way that y'all became friends, because of all that, that's weird as hell.
Yeah. And like, we didn't really see anything with this fallout from this fight in the next time on, but it's mostly going to be about, I don't want to live here. And Jibri being like, I feel a lot of pressure coming on. So make your decision. What's it going to be? What are you going to do? We'll find out more next week. But Sasha, before we head on out from here, let's do the power ranking of the couples that we do here weekly. Let's see where everyone lies. And I will tell you what the rankings were last week, and then we'll start slotting them for this week. So last week, in last place, we had Even Muhammad. In fifth place, we had Emily and Kobe. Fourth place was Bilal and Shaida. Third was Jibri and Miona. Two was Kara and Guillermo. And number one was Ari and Binyam.
Ooh.
Yeah. So do you have an idea of who's in the bottom right now? I feel like that's the easier place to start. Yeah.
I feel like I could either Emily and Kobe or Bilal and Shaida. But the thing is, I like Kobe more than maybe I like Shaida. And there's not necessarily like a knock against her. It's just maybe my internalized patriarchy. Like, I don't know. But that's why I put Bilal and Shaida last. But I think I hate Emily. No, I think Bilal also irritates me more. So I don't know.
Have you forgotten that Even Muhammad are on the show?
Yeah, but you know, like, especially because of what we talked about today, they were there for me third to last. Like, I don't know that they're last anymore. Okay.
So, okay, then if we're going Bilal and Shaida, Emily and Kobe, if I was to break the tie of which one should go last, I think ultimately for me, Bilal and Shaida are still further along from finding where they're trying to be. Because the big question that they've had for months, 2 months now, is I want kids. And the other one's like, I plead the fifth. So that's going to be, that's like a bigger, we're breaking up than I feel like I'm being talked down to, because that's something that can be healed through proper conversation, which I could see them having in the future. Now, is Kobe going to have to deal with some nonsense from the family next week? Probably yes. But they also have Coben together, and I feel like Kobe is going to work on anything he needs to work on to make sure that he gets right. to be there with Coben. And I'm hoping that that will cause Emily then to also see the error in the way she communicates with him, and they can find a safe solution. Whereas with Bilal and Shahida, until they have that talk, I don't see them ever making it past fourth place on this power ranking to me.
Yes, exactly. That's why to me, I think I'm just like, there's so much, like the baby thing is just not out yet. And I feel like he's such a liar. And I think that's why he's last. Cause I just, it pisses me off.
Yeah. I think Bilal and Shahida, and then if I may, I want to pitch putting even Muhammad fifth, because I think ultimately with them, and if we're looking at it per episode, in this episode, one of them felt closer to the religion than they had in like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And the other felt further from their partner than they have after going to the mosque. So I think that with them, this is going to be a big contested conversation. And I don't necessarily think one is going to sacrifice for the other and, you know, either put stuff aside or embrace new stuff. So that's why I think they're fifth.
Yeah. And I think we're both not feeling either of them, right? Instead of, at least we like Kobe. So it's like Kobe saves the day again. I see
Kobe putting his team on his back and taking them to fourth place.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll allow it.
All right, so then that brings us to the final three here with Jibri and Miona, Ari and Biniam, and Patrick and Thais. I feel like I could see any of them being in first place for various reasons. But probably closer feeling about that with Jibri and Miona and Ari and Biniam, simply because with Jibri and Miona, they have each other's backs. The external stuff is what's causing the issue, and then maybe them not getting the move they want and stuff, but they're also supporting each other's like, oh, we don't have to do that work if we don't want to. And, oh, we don't have to not have this wedding if we can have it. So I think we put them in second or first. And then Ari and Biniam, they've been together so long. This has been a very overarching issue, but they can talk through it because they've done it before, which leaves
And they've us. Just been through so much. Like also that, you know, like this is to me is like baby stuff compared to what they were doing.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Like this is a smaller issue when all things considered, as opposed to some of these other couples that have not made it through the barriers that those two have already. Yeah. So then that leaves us with Patrick and Thais will put in third. I think that the whole John thing is a big issue where Patrick wants John there and keeps saying he wants John there. And potentially he has not told Thais exactly how important John being there is to him and why John being there is to him. And then also Patrick has made a lot of decisions on his own and Thais has to simply quote live with it, which I don't think Thais is going to has been taken kindly to. And I think that is going to cause an inevitable fight with the two of them. I just don't know when and how, but I do not think they're going to be living in paradise all the way through. Maybe the party's going to be what's going to cause it. But for now, I think they can safely sit in third place and be happy with it.
Yeah, I'll allow it because, yeah, they were actually third for me, too, because Jibri and Miona were first. And I don't know, every time I'm on Twitter, I feel like people really hate Ari. And to me, I don't get it. I don't like her, but I don't hate her. You know what I mean? So that's why I feel like I have to be more defensive of Ari and Binet for some reason.
It's because I feel like everyone's very quick to be like, no, no, no. F Ari. She's controlling and does all this stuff. But then also, and while I do agree with some of it, I look at Biniam and I'm like, okay, Biniam withholds information. He tries to be non-confrontational, which makes things a lot worse. Mm-hmm. That non-confrontational nature is what's caused this big divide between Mimi and Wish and Ari, which will never get fixed because of him. So I also see the error in his ways and he's not innocent either. So for me, I don't like either of them like that, but I also don't think I hate either of them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it.
Agreed. Yeah, so then okay, I'm fine with pushing Ari and Biniam down. They both made huge mistakes this episode. We put them in second. Jibri and Miona, even though they can be pretty bad with decision making and prioritizing. They have each other's backs and it's adorable. They had matching jackets, which again, is that the wisest investment right now? Probably not, but hey, you look good doing it. We'll give you first. You can be first for now.
God, even though you're a damn Blackfisher.
Yeah. So to recap, sixth place, we have Bilal and Shaida, who have moved down two spots. Even Muhammad are in fifth. They've gone up one, but do not look at it as they've gone up one. Look at it as they're pretty much in the same spot.
Yes.
Emily and Kobe did go up one as well. I tell you the same thing I said in the past with even Muhammad just now. Third place, we have Patrick and Thais, who were second the last time. They go down one because we've learned a little bit more that Patrick might not be actively listening to Thais, which could be a problem moving forward. Ari and Biniam go down one because of the mistakes they made this episode. And Jibri and Miona land first spot simply because they really like each other. There you have it.
They're the least sucky.
Yeah. All right, Sasha. This was a very fun podcast. Thank you for coming through here and talking through this stuff with me and listening to me get frustrated with this show. But hey, it's not 90 Day if we're not a little bit frustrated and a lot of it enjoying. So
thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Let the people know, where can they find you? What else you have going on right now?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at funsize_04, where I probably talk through all this mess eventually. And if you love mess, you should check out Kirsten and I on our very own show called Mess Magnet, where we cover all the week's pop culture and just, you know, anything else. And listener submitted mess, which is, I think, our favorite part of it, because sometimes it's a lot. Like, we just can't believe what y'all are into and what y'all are wilding out here. So it's just, it's a fun, silly podcast. So, you know, if you love the Hot Mess Express, come on to Mess Magnets after. And, you know, and we have our own feed. So Rob Has a Podcast / Mess Magnets, and go check us out there. We drop every week. And yeah, that is all. Thank you so much for having me. I feel like this is like my first home on RHAP. So, you know, I'm glad to be back home.
Oh, we're happy to have you back, Sasha, always. And y'all definitely check out Mass Magnets. It's a good time. I enjoy it. It's become my go-to midweek play while I'm doing chores around the house, and it makes them a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable. So thank you for
that. That's the point. It's just vibes and all mess.
Exactly. Listen, sign me up two times over. y'all can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch.tv/Puya. Like we said earlier, I did a 24-hour stream this past week. It was a lot of fun, a lot of little segments in there. So go through, see what you like. We might find something. And as far as podcasting goes, right now we've only got 90 Day going on. So if you could leave a rating or review for this podcast, I would greatly appreciate it. It helps people find the show. It helps me get feedback from you, what you may like, what you may not like, and everything in between. You can do so over on robiswebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's the number 9, the number 0 day fiance. I thank you for being aboard the Hot Mess Express, but we have arrived at our destination. And while we wait for the next train to come in next week, I hope you have a good week. Hope you take care. I'll catch you next time. Bye.